When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, it's time to go inside the green room with Danny Green.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now on the line, Odyssey NBA insider Danny Green. Insider calls brought to you by the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe 2024, equipped for adventure. Danny, what the hell happened to the Mavericks yesterday?
It was just a tough game, man. Sometimes it happens that way. I wouldn't lose any faith. You know, there's certain teams that I look at after game one and say, oh, they're going home. This is not that type of situation. A lot of things just couldn't go right. Missed a lot of easy ones, chippies early on. And, kind of spiraled from there. But they still only lost by 12. They didn't score a lot. Clippers shot unbelievably, 50% from three. I don't see them doing that again. And I think it's a blessing in disguise, man, because the fact that now – Clippers got the one win at home. They're probably going to rest Kawhi again, which gives you guys the advantage. If you guys split on the road, that's what you need. You need to get one out of there. It's not a series until somebody wins on the road.
So, Danny, I'm sure there's been situations. You played for the Spurs for a while, so probably not. But when you're down 56-30 at halftime in a playoff game, like what do you when you're at halftime? What in the world happens at halftime? Down 26.
I mean, we've had situations like that. It's not in the playoffs, I don't recall, but definitely regular season. And it's, you know, getting gear. You know, we got a couple minutes before we pull the plug. And sometimes they have the second unit give us energy. Pop is the type. He'll sub five in, five out, and see what they'll give us. And a lot of times the worm will turn. You know, the basketball's a game of runs. And naturally, human nature, teams aren't going to continue to keep their foot on the pedal and play that greatly. And then they're going to, you know, probably loosen up some, and eventually you'll get an opportunity. I'm sure that locker room was not a tough one to be in after game one. So game one's the most intense one, and everybody's trying to make a statement and come out and play their best basketball, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But they fought back, so they made it a game, but they made it, you know, respectable. They didn't lose by, you know, 30. That'd be a different story if you guys lost by that much.
You made that point of the Mavs missed some shots. You know, they missed some layups close to the basket. They missed some threes early in that game for sure. You chalk that up to, like, tightness, just kind of maybe pushing it a little too much? Because some of these guys, this is their first steps into the playoffs.
Maybe. I chalk it up to just having a bad night sometimes. Some of these guys are experienced. They're not young guys. You know, Tim Hardaway is a guy that's been in the playoffs. Kai, Luka, like, they all have some decently amount of playoff experience. And it could be just one of those things, or maybe just had more rest than the usual off, maybe a little rust.
So
they weren't in the playing games. So, yeah, it could be a number of things.
Danny, I know you're a great three-point shooter, and on a scouting report, it was don't leave Danny Green wide open. We're not helping off of Danny Green. But obviously the scouting report on the Mavs are leave Derek Jones Jr. open, leave Maxi Kleber wide open. Let's see if they make threes tonight. When does a player like that change the scouting report in a playoff series? Is it a timeout where they've made two in a row? When do you go, all right, let's not leave Maxi wide open, or let's not leave Derek Jones Jr. wide open?
After they hit probably two or three. Probably three. You hit two, you're like, oh, okay, contest it, but not like you don't have to run them off the line. But they hit three, and now it's a little different. But even then, it goes game to game. You still live with the results because the numbers always balance out, and it's like, just because he hit three or four this game doesn't mean he's going to hit three or four throughout the whole series. You know, so you give him a game, said, oh, he played unbelievable tonight. We're going to continue to dare him to make shots until he becomes a shooter, like a threat. Then they're not going to change their scout. Now, if he does it for two or three games, then it's like, all right, we got to get to this guy. But most times you just let the guy shoot until – instead it was different. Like a Deuce McBride, him hitting threes, he's a guy that's known to knock down shots and make shots. You can't just leave him open. Now, he's changing a series, but I'm sure the scout report wasn't leaving him open, but it wasn't like, oh, we got to make sure we run him off the line. It was like, we don't want him to get good looks. But now they probably have to key on a guy like that. So they'll probably never key on those guys. They'll get the looks. They just have to take them and shoot them confidently.
Now, when you're talking about some of the teams that you might have seen in game one and you're like, yeah, they're probably done,
I'm curious your take about the Lakers' playoff future, especially after James Worthy said that Nikola Jokic looks like Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at the same time.
So there's certain games that I looked at, certain series, and I said, yeah, they're going home. It wasn't that series. I thought the Lakers could sneak one because they were in rhythm and they had been playing, and you know, Denver had a week off. They were rusty. They were up most of the game, especially the first half for sure. That first quarter, they were pretty good. Second quarter, they were up by three, I think, by the halftime. So it was their game to steal. But now once that they got the rhythm, so Jamal Murray didn't even play his best game. And the fact that, you know, Denver started getting the rhythm in that second half, it's going to be an even tougher series for Lakers. But I still think they could make it a series. I don't see them winning the series, but I see them, you can make it to six or seven. But they're going to need those other guys to step up, like D'Angelo Russell. He got some good looks. Austin Reeves, Rui. Those guys are going to be the ones that need to step up. Gabe Vincent, Torian Prince, all those guys that's in the game, they're going to have to knock down some shots because ultimately Anthony Davis and LeBron James are doing their job, which they did. And usually AD, they think he's going to be up and down. If he stays consistent, they always have a chance with him. But they just got tired, man. You know, LeBron got tired. You can see he can get outrun by Jokic at the end of the game. AD, hands on his knees. Like, they just got really tired. They're carrying a lot of the weight on both ends of the floor. And you can't expect them to do that without help. So they're going to need those other guys to step up and make some shots.
I'm guessing the Miami Heat perhaps are on your list of teams that might be done. Do you want to tell us if that is correct and any other teams on that
list? Yeah, it's just, they're just unmatched. This is hard to – very much outmatched. There's no Jimmy. Even with Jimmy, Boston would be tough to beat. But without Jimmy, I think they're just outmatched. You know, Perk had a wild statement. They have to make 100% of their shots and they would still lose. Like, I don't know if that – they would have to make 100% of, like, a high percentage of their shots. To win some game. Like I said, I wouldn't say they need to be 100%, but if they shot seven, they had to shoot a very high clip to win some games, and they wouldn't do that for four games out of the seven. So I see them going home. Like, there's a couple teams I looked at, and I'm just like, I'm not confident. Like, Indiana, I was like, they're going home. Miami, I'm like, they just outmatched. They're going home. And Phoenix was another team was like, that I just don't see it, man. Like, yeah. The mannerisms, the faces, the energy. Now, they can't turn around. They may win a game or two, but it didn't look good. Like I said, and it wasn't like Minnesota shot unbelievable. Like I said, the Clippers shot 50% from three. Minnesota only shot 37. So it wasn't like they were hitting everything. But to lose by 25 in your first game and said not cut it down, make it a run, it's not getting enough. Don't have a point guard. They don't have enough bench production or from others to do it. And I said, I don't think other guys had it. Like, I don't think Cat had a great game. I don't think Mike Conley, like, they didn't have that. Alexander had a good game, but off the bench. But outside of that, you know, it wasn't like a bunch of guys had a great game. So that's concerning to me, seeing those type of lopsided wins for a team like that that's supposed to be a contender.
Okay, I want to stick with that for just 1 second. I know Kevin Durant is a great player, but we were talking about, like, historically where people will go down. Does any of the shine come off of Kevin Durant? Like, if the Suns flame out and his other attempts at super teams didn't really work out?
How do you mean flame out? Like, you mean like he does not hold to a higher standard because of his groups?
If they lose in the first round, or if he loses in the first round and you see, you know, they just haven't.
Yeah. I mean, he's not young anymore. He's just older. So we expect the load to not be fully on him. But yeah, a lot of times that he's been given a pass because, you know, he does his job most of the time. He usually gets his 30 and he doesn't have the group around him. He has pieces, they just don't fit sometimes. And that's what super team, you can put there how many super teams you want. It just has to mesh well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this one, that they haven't had a lot of time together. I wouldn't say they don't mesh well, but they don't look great. They don't have a point guard. They're missing some pieces, some important pieces that they need. And that's why it's hard to say to like put him in a standard. But he's still going down as one of the best ever, you know, lace him up. Definitely one of the best scorers in the game. He had different paths, different roads, and some people might discredit it. I don't. You know, he's one of the greatest and won some championships. But I think people are looking for him to do it on his own, you know. So we may not see that.
Danny Green joining us right now on 105.3 The Fan. I'm going to go to that Boston series, and Caleb Martin, I'm going to say, accidentally undercut Tatum on a rebound, and it kind of caused a little bit.
It was an accident.
And so let me ask you this. That was Jrue Holiday who pushed Martin. Does Jrue Holiday, like when they're in film or whatever, go, oh, crap, they're about to see how this actually did happen? Or does he apologize on the bench if, like, near the end of the game, is he like, hey, Jay, I accidentally pushed him into you, and that's the reason he undercut you?
Probably, I think in the game he probably could say, I don't know if he did. Drew's the type of guy I could see. Like, he's a stand-up guy. I'd probably tell him, like, yo, I don't think he did on purpose. Like, I pushed him some. And Caleb Martin's a one-foot jumper. He's trying to get his one foot up, trying to jump. He got pushed. You know how inertia works. Like, it's hard to stop. Things happening so fast in the game. Things were chippy throughout the game. I don't think it was intentional. But I'm sure Jason will see it. I'm sure the rest of the group will see it. And I said, I'm sure Drew said something about it. So, you know, it's playoff basketball. It's hard. No, it's hard basketball. People competing. You know, you move on. Obviously, unfortunate play. You don't want to see it. He got bounced back up, which was good to see. I'm sure he'll be sore from it the next day or so. But, yeah, I said, I think people will see that it wasn't intentional.
Out of these first round series, which one is most likely to cause, like, a real fight?
Ooh. That's a good question, man. I don't know. I think there's going to be some really good basketball. I like the New Orleans Thunder game. I think that's going to go seven series. Clippers and Dallas always have a little bit of smoke. Indiana-Milwaukee, they've had some history throughout the season, but it's two different teams now since the trade deadline. So it's hard to say, man. You know, Philly-New York is a gutted out, grinded out one, so could get chippy, but you never know. And about playoff basketball, any team could at any point because everybody wants to win.
Anything in particular you think fans need to key in on game two for Mavericks Clippers tomorrow?
Nothing. So they just had a bad game, and I'm sure they have a better start. We'll see what the others do. If they knock down shots in the open, how they change, and if Kawhi plays or not. You know, so James Harden had a really good game. I don't expect him to hit six threes again. I expect him to go 50% from three. So I think it'll be a way different game. And if they win that game, it'll be a totally different series.
Love it, man. Appreciate all the insight you've already given us. Look forward to talking with you again next week.
For sure, man. Anytime.
There you go. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Danny Green. Inside calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure.